prayer service. Did you know that? We're praying for each other today. I need your prayer right now. I'm going to do something that Presbyterian pastors don't do very often. I'm going to try to keep it short today. I'm going to need your help. Help me out, okay? That's right. We got a short passage, or a long passage, short sermon, I think, maybe. Pray for me. We're in Acts 12 today. I'm going to get right to business. This is going to be quick. I want to make sure we've got time for prayer. I think that's what the Lord's doing today, and I'm more interested in what he's doing today, but I'm just going to try to encourage us before we get there. We're in Acts 12, have been in Acts for a while, and we are looking at the first 17 verses. This one is one of those, it's just saturated in prayer. Look at what the Lord is doing. That's what my encouragement to you is. As we read this, look at what the Lord is doing. Look at how the church is responding. Just see it in this, okay? We're going to put it up on the screen for you to follow along. But it's Acts chapter 12, verses 1 through 17. It begins like this. It says, "About that time, King Herod laid violent hands upon some who belonged to the church. He had James, the brother of John, killed with the sword. After he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to arrest Peter also. This was during the festival of unleavened bread. When he had seized him, he put him in prison and handed him over to four squads of soldiers to guard him, intending to bring him out to the people after the Passover. While Peter was kept in prison, the church prayed fervently to God for him." Verse 6, "The very night before Herod was going to bring him out, Peter, bound with two chains, was sleeping between two soldiers while guards in front of the door were keeping watch over the prison. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared and a light shone in the cell. He tapped Peter on the side and woke him, saying, 'Get up quickly.' And the chains fell off his wrists. The angel said to him, 'Fasten your belt and put on your sandals.' He did so. Then he said to him, 'Wrap your cloak around you and follow me.' Peter went out and followed him. He did not realize that what was happening with the angel's help was real. He thought he was seeing a vision. After they had passed the first and the second guard, they came before the iron gate leading into the city. It opened for them of its own accord, and they went outside and walked along a lane, when suddenly the angel left him. Then Peter came to himself and said, 'Now I am sure that the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me from the hands of Herod and from all that the Jewish people were expecting.' As soon as he realized this, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose other name was Mark, where many had gathered and were praying. When he knocked on the outer gate, a maid named Rhoda came to answer. On recognizing Peter's voice, she was so overjoyed that instead of opening the gate, she ran in and announced that Peter was standing at the gate. Well, they said to her, 'You're out of your mind.' But she insisted that it was so. They said, 'It's his angel.' Meanwhile, Peter continued knocking, and when they opened the gate, they saw him and were amazed, and he motioned to them with his hand to be silent and described for them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison, and he added, 'Tell this to James and to the believers.' Then he left and went to another place." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let me pray for us. God, we're talking about prayer. We're looking for prayer. We're really looking for you, and so I ask that you would meet us. Meet us, Lord Jesus, through the power of your Spirit. May we know the love of the Father. In Jesus Christ's name we pray it. Amen. Do you remember the first time you were surprised by prayer? It could have been a minor moment. It could have been a big moment. I remember the first big moment I was surprised by prayer. I just finished my undergraduate work and felt like God was calling me to campus ministry. The problem was that you had to raise all your support to go on campus ministry. And when I saw that, I thought, that looks impossible. But the call was really, it was very obvious. And so I thought, okay, I'm just going to, you know, kind of one of those one step of faith kind of things. We'll see where this leads. I had to raise like, I think $30,000. You might as well have put two more zeros after it as far as I was concerned, because I didn't know where 10 of it was coming from, let alone 30,000 of it. And I went to the fundraising school and did all this stuff. And all summer long, I just worked at it and worked at it and worked at it and worked at it and worked at it. And I got to 1 week left. I had to have 90% of my funding accounted for before I could go to campus. Now, I know some of you here know what fundraising's like, and you know this is so much less about the money, so much more about what God's doing. And 1 week left, guess what? I had half. In the beginning of that week, I was beginning to resign. I don't see it happening. And I prayed this prayer. It might be my lifelong prayer. Lord, if you don't do this, it ain't happening. If you don't do this, it is not going to happen. I did not hear an audible voice at this moment that wasn't one of those things, but God might as well have said in that moment, well, now that we have that understanding. Because that was Monday, and by Thursday I was fully funded. By Saturday I was in the car going to serve in this capacity. And I wasn't just surprised by prayer. I was blown away by it. It just blew my worldview open. This was the first time that I was just like, God, please help. And he was like, okay, here. It just shocked me. I kind of resonate because have you guys ever had one of these moments where it was so good you're kind of like, I don't know if I believe this. Amen. Yeah, I actually was having a hard time. You know, this is in the early days of online portal banking things, and I guess I was so excited I could log in and see the progress. I kept logging in to make sure it was still there. It's like, did it really do it? Is it really there? And it was always there every time I looked. I kind of felt like this early church. You know, they're praying for Peter's deliverance. Rhoda's like, he's there. And the best thing they can come up with is probably his angel. I get it. We get it. We've been surprised. Sometimes God does. We know in our head that he answers prayer. We know why we do it. And yet then he does it and you go, oh, wow. And then the first thing we do is like, it could have been circumstances. Right, we have all these excuses we have to battle with when God answers prayer, even the most fascinating of things, right? Well, despite what our heads know, it's okay to be surprised. This morning, all I want to do is encourage you. I just want to encourage you. I want to encourage your prayer life. I just want to say, pray. Be encouraged to pray. I'm going to give you three things. You have a heavenly Father who shapes reality through the conversations that you have with him. Does that sound too good to be true? It sounds too good to be true, except I didn't say it. You have a heavenly Father who shapes reality through the conversations that you have with him. Let me give us three quick encouragements out of this. The first encouragement is really obvious. Friends, be encouraged to pray because you see the need, right? You literally see it. It's just, there it is. Have you all been in Common Grounds lately? Our little place where we have the coffee and snacks. There's all this beautiful artwork everywhere. It's fantastic. It's from the Imago Dei event that Make Studio hosted. And thank you. And I love going in there and looking at it. I mean, it's phenomenal. If you threatened my life and said, draw a straight line or you're a goner, I'm a goner. I can't do it. Not only do I not have artistic ability, I don't have the eye of an artist. And that's what I love. When I go look at this artwork, it's like you get to see the perspective of an artist. Where I look at something and say, that's a plain object. An artist looks at it and says, there's beauty in that object. Right? It's worth pondering. It's worth looking at and taking in. I see plain object. They see beauty. That's one of the great things about artwork, is you get to step into the perspective of an artist. Christians, we have a perspective, a very special perspective. Where the world sees brokenness and hurt and hopelessness, we see an opportunity to ask the Father to break in with redemption and power and healing. We see the world through prayer, don't we? There's nothing off limits to us. Just like the artist looks and says, wow, it's a music stand. And they can all of a sudden see beauty in it. We look at all the world. There's nothing off limits to us that we would never say, that's not worthy of prayer. We see the world through prayer. Did you catch the dire situation that the church is in this morning? When we read our passage, what I didn't read is right before that, there's a famine happening, a great famine that was prophesied about, and the church is living in the famine. Who here has ever lived through a famine? Me neither. I can't imagine what it is to live through a famine, but if that was not enough, what is King Herod now doing to the church? He's killing, he's persecuting it. Yeah, did you see right in the very opening? James, the brother of John, part of that intimate group with Jesus, right? That James, John, Peter, sometimes Andrew, these are the guys that Jesus would take with him in the most intimate moments. These were the closest people to Jesus. And Herod arrests James. No trial, no cause, no reason, absolute show of power, kills him. Flatters the Jewish leaders of the time. And then what does he do? He finds Peter next, right? We can see what's going on here. He finds Peter next. What is the church going to do? Let's try. Let's put up verse 4 here. It says, when he had seized him, he put him in prison and handed him over to 4 squads of soldiers to guard him, intending to bring him out to the people after the Passover while Peter was kept in prison. What did the church do? Prayed fervently. Friends, when fear, hurt, or hopelessness enters the world, and it does, amen, we see it often, probably saw it this morning, heaven help you if you read the news. What do we see? Opportunities for the Father to enter in with redemption and healing, right? We pray. That's what we do. Friends, be encouraged to pray because you see the need for it. That's the first one. Second one, be encouraged to pray because Jesus is our model and we're disciples of who? Jesus. We want to be his disciples, right? We want to do what Jesus did. It occurred to me this week, this Sunday, today, this marks the 2nd year of Rebecca and I being here. This is the very Sunday. You're nice. Thanks for keeping us around. You haven't driven us off yet. We got 30 more days, right? Maybe not. But it occurred to me because I was thinking the first sermon series that Keith and I preached together was on Jesus Teach Us to Pray. It was on the prayer life and the teachings on prayer that Jesus has. And I thought about it because I was thinking, how much does Jesus talk about prayer? And I remember when we were looking through all the passages trying to figure out which ones were we going to preach on, we really had to whittle it down because as it turns out, Jesus really cares about prayer. It's all over the Gospels. There's something that didn't connect to me though when we were doing that series. As much as he teaches about it, and as much as he models it, you know what? The early church got it. They got it. How do we know they got it? Because it's in the book of Acts. Prayer is mentioned 32 times. There's not even 32 chapters. It's mentioned more than once a chapter. They're praying people, aren't they? You see it all throughout the book of Acts. And then they prayed, and then they prayed, and then they prayed. They saw Jesus having conversations with the Father that would shape reality. And then they put it together. Hey, wait, we're his children too. We can do the same thing. And they did. I see Christians who don't believe that prayer shapes reality. And it's very disappointing to me. It really is disappointing. I've heard this explanation a number of times by Christians, good Christians, faithful Christians. But it goes something like this. Prayer is more for you than it is for the content of the prayer. You've heard this? Yeah. Prayer is more for you than it is for the content of your prayer. Almost like it's therapeutic, right? Brothers and sisters, let me ask you this morning, does the Bible teach us to pray because it makes us feel good? No. If feeling good is what gets things into the Bible, there is no chocolate ice cream. And I don't know about you, but chocolate ice cream makes me feel amazing. Not good. Anybody else chocolate ice cream? Yeah, okay, amen. We've got a witness. And it's not in here. As a matter of fact, I bet we know this, that when you really get deep into prayer and you really start praying for impact and things to happen, it doesn't make you feel good. It's hard. It's hard to pray like that. It's not feel good stuff. It's interceding on behalf of whatever with the Father, aching sometimes, travailing in prayer. As children of God, we have this beautiful invitation to look at what Jesus was doing, and Jesus was advancing the kingdom of God through redemption, and it required his connection to the Father. Brothers and sisters, be encouraged to pray, because if Jesus did it, friends, the invitation is to you as a child of God to do the same. Be encouraged. One final encouragement out of this text. And this is such a great text. I haven't even had time to really touch on the whole angel thing, right? Which is pretty wonderful. I can't unpack it today. I told you, I'm keeping it short. And you're like, how short? But just a quick thought. This angel comes, delivers Peter. It was a dire moment, right? It was a dire moment. I can't help myself. I'm one of those DIYers. I watch YouTube and break way too many things because of it. I need to know how it works. How does that work? How does that work? I like asking how questions. How did the angel get in there? How does it feel to be struck by an angel? You know, it says he struck Peter and the chains fell off. Well, then right after this, he strikes Herod, and guess what happens? Done. What does it feel like to be struck by an angel? Well, and how did those chains fall off? They just melt off? What? I mean, physically, how's this happening? How did he get dressed without anyone noticing? How did he get past the first guard without anybody? How did he get past the second guard without anybody? How did he get through the town gate? How did those gates open by themselves? How did this happen? How? I want to know how. You want to know the problem with my how questions? Is the Bible doesn't give us how answers. It gives us one. One how. How did all this happen? Because the church prayed for it. That's how it happened. Beyond that, all it gives us are who answers. Who answers? You get to the very end of this, and Peter's standing at the gate. He's coming to his senses, and he says, surely I see it now. The Lord has sent an angel. The Lord. It's the Lord. When it's all said and done, what is his experience? It's the Lord. I've seen the Lord at work in my life. Friends, at the core of prayer, be encouraged to pray. Why? Because at the center of it is an encounter with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's why we pray. We want to know Jesus. We want to know Jesus. And it blows my mind at the cosmic level that the King of Kings, who creates galaxies that we don't even know exist, is about to listen to every word we say. It sounds too good to be true, doesn't it? Doesn't it? Except it's not. Except it's not. I go back to 2 years ago. It wasn't this Sunday. It was the next Sunday that we had a healing service here at St. Giles. My first healing service at St. Giles. And Keith had said to me beforehand, we do this. It's really neat. And I was thinking, oh, sure, fine, whatever. We pray. And I was blown away by it. I remember we came away, we were just, oh my goodness. Every month we get together as a church and we go to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and we say, would you do this? And you know what? Sometimes he does. And we do it as a church. We pray for each other. And we pray with expectation. Amen. Church, it's the best Sunday of the month for me, if I'm being totally honest. I hate to qualify them. But I dare say if we ever stop praying for each other, we're probably stopping to be the church. We don't want to do that. We want to be people who live in the presence of our Lord. Be encouraged to pray. Be encouraged to expect. Be encouraged to hope, long, see redemption. Because you see the whole world through the lens of prayer. Through the lens of what could God do if he got involved. Right there. We're going to sing a song. And then we're going to pray. Are you all ready for it? Are you sure? I don't know if I am. But we're going to sing a song. I'm going to pray first before we sing. Would you join me? Heavenly Father, I pray that right now, as we prepare to go into a ministry of prayer, that you would grow our expectations. But more than anything, Lord, we just... we're amazed at what you would do for us on the cross has translated into so much that we're still seeing its impact. That you're still working out redemption and healing in our lives today. And so, Lord, I just ask, would you send your Holy Spirit into this room? Would you increase our faith? Would you increase our joy? Would you increase our desire to talk with you and have conversations with you and see reality shaped by what you do because we simply ask. It sounds so big at one level, and yet I guess it's so simple. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. That's all we can say is thank you, Jesus. Amen.